We're talking about the Beatitudes. We're at Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, and you'll notice today's title. In your outlines, there's a bullet. In your bulletin, there's an outline, if you'd like to follow along, called What You Give Is What You Get. And what I'm talking about is about mercy. That's what we're going to talk about today. Blessed are those that are merciful, for they shall receive mercy. So you can go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 5. We'll get prepared. We'll get ready. We'll get there. But as we're getting ready to just move into this season, it's important to make sure we acknowledge and understand how good God is. He's a good God, amen? That's what we're going to talk about today, about having mercy. You know, when I was a kid, I used to play a game called Mercy. Did you ever play that one? You lock fingers with somebody else, hey, you want to play Mercy? That was like a dumb question because somebody's going to be in pain in a moment. And you lock fingers, and then you wrestle back and forth till somebody finally gets tired and the other person gives up, starts bending their fingers backwards. And they keep bending until the person cries, mercy! And then they're supposed to stop. That's usually when my friends would crank on my wrist just a little bit more. So I learned that if I knew I was going down, cry out for mercy sooner. And as much as that's kind of a ha-ha-ha, you know, when it comes to God, learn quickly to cry out for his mercy. Because there's always going to be something pressing down on you. There's always going to be pressures of this world. We need to understand not only that we are to cry out for mercy, but I want to take some time and explain what it means. We're going to kind of define mercy. And then I want to talk to you about two reasons why we need it. Two very important reasons. And I hope that you leave here today not just saying, yeah, we had another boring service about the Beatitudes. I hope you leave being able to put handles on it. So you can go this week and know, this is how I can take this and apply it in my life. So when you leave here, you're leaving with homework, okay? Oh, man, that was horrible. I know, I did the same thing in high school, so I get it. I get it. You're like, homework, I'm going to a different church. But I'll guarantee you, if they don't give you homework, they should. Because we're constantly under construction. So when you leave here today, you're going to leave with kind of an assignment of looking for where I can show mercy. Because if I can learn to show, if I can be merciful, the Bible tells me that he will extend mercy to me when I need it. And I got to tell you, there's many times that I've not needed God's mercy, therefore, because I was just kind of comfortable. I'm not saying I didn't need it, but you know, life's going pretty good, and I'm doing all right. So therefore, I don't have to worry about being merciful to everybody else because I'm doing good. That's the wrong thinking. Because I'm thinking, I determine whether I'm going to be merciful to others based on how I feel right now. How many of you know that feelings change? Days change. Seasons change. And when your season comes up where you need God's mercy, he's going to say, what you give is what you get. And so it's important for us to really understand this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. That's where it's, blessed are those who are merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Or some of them say, receive mercy. And I saw an article, throw the picture up there. It says, it's a piece of paper, it's on a car window, and it says, help, she's not my mom. This happened in Los Angeles. The LA Times put an article out that, let me just read the article to you. I got to find it here. It says, an alarmed California Highway Patrol officer stopped a car on Route 99 in Sacramento over the weekend after a child held up a sign from the back seat pleading for help. Authorities received a call shortly after 5 p.m., Saturday after passing motorists, they saw a girl holding up a piece of notebook paper that said, help me, she's not my mom, help. With the help of a canine unit and two CHIP motorcycle officers, whom I'm assuming were Ponch and John, were in the Valley Division, spotted the vehicle in Stockton, where they conducted a high-risk law enforcement stop on the car. After speaking with the driver, the officers determined that the juvenile had made it all up because she was bored and thought it was a fun thing to do, according to the police officers. The child's mother was unaware and unhappy about the high-risk stop and did not know what the daughter was doing. Authorities said that they were both subsequently allowed to leave, and I can only imagine that that little girl needed to understand mercy. Mercy. Crying out for mercy. The mom needed a lot more lessons, but I'll guarantee you that mom needed to learn how to extend mercy because she's going to have days where she will need it, and you and I will too. So I want to do this. It's a true statement that we need mercy. Amen? Okay, you agree with me on that. So mercy assumes this. Mercy assumes that there is going to be a miserable situation in your life at some point, and you are going to need to be relieved of this. Circumstances that weigh you down. Maybe you walked in here today, circumstances are weighing you down. You got something on your mind, a heaviness on your heart, a healing you haven't received, a job that changed without your permission. Whatever that means, you fill in the blank. Something's going on and you need to be relieved of this. What you need is this thing that lifts you up, and it's called mercy. It's called mercy. So I want to define mercy as this way. You can write it in your outlines. This is just our working definition, okay? Don't go look for it in Webster. You won't see it this way. But I'm defining mercy as reducing, removing, or relieving someone's distress. When I say, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy, I'm saying blessed are those who learn to reduce, remove, or relieve some form of distress in others' lives in order that when their time comes, there will be someone there to help them out, relieve, reduce, or remove whatever's distressing them. That's what Jesus does for us, right? That's what he did. He came in and he says, I'm relieving that for you. Let's take a look at a couple Bible verses. It says in Titus 3:5, I'm kind of jumping in the middle of the verse, but let's read it together. You ready? Go. Not by works or righteousness, which have been done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, just the first part. Ready? Go. But God, who is rich in mercy. The dude is loaded. He's got so much. How many of you would love an uncle, a brother, a mother, somebody that just loved the stuffings out of you, that was so loaded that they could give you everything they could find and they would still have more? How many would like somebody like that in your life? Well, we'd love it because we're looking at the monetary need. But it says here that not only is Jesus loaded in whatever we deem valuable, he's loaded in what he says is mercy that goes beyond what you can ever think. He says he is rich in mercy. God is rich in relieving and reducing and removing all these miserable situations and problems in life that come your way that are unrelated to the ones you keep inviting. We'll get to that in just a minute. God will show mercy to you even in those situations as well. But what he wants is for us to understand what this means. So mercy is God's reaction. It's his reaction to our misery. Mercy is more than just feeling sorry for somebody. Mercy is what feeling sorry produced. Let me give you three definitions. I put them in your outlines. Here's what grace is, because grace and mercy, justice, grace is this. Grace is getting what we do not deserve, okay? Grace is getting what we do not deserve. Here's what justice is. Justice is getting what you do deserve. That's justice. But here's mercy. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. When I was a kid, I got mercy sometimes when there was a punishment that was to come forth, something that happened. Sometimes I got mercy. Sometimes I got justice. Or actually, they did. Because there was something I deserved. I deserved a lot of things, but there were times where I did things that though I deserved whatever came my way, mercy was extended to me. You know, you ever watch TV and you've heard the phrase, maybe you watch Matlock or you watch Perry Mason or some kind of a courtroom drama, whatever, Law and Order, I don't know. But you see somebody that's found guilty of a crime and they will do this. They will throw themselves on what? The mercy of the court, right? They'll throw themselves on the mercy of the court. They're asking to be relieved, reduced, or removed from the penalty that the law is requiring of them. Mercy is asking God not to let me bear the full weight of what I deserve or could be bearing. I need mercy. We all need mercy. Now, I know nobody here has probably ever been has ever gone over the speed limit. You've probably never been pulled over by a policeman or given a ticket. I understand that. But there are people that happens to. And let's say you get pulled over by a policeman because you are speeding. The policeman will come up and he will find you guilty of speeding because your speedometer, his radar gun, spoke truth and it did not line up with what was required of the law. So justice says, here's the penalty. You get a ticket. I get a ticket. The request is mercy. Oh, can't you give me a break? Can't you do? Now, we don't say, you know, have mercy. We don't sing to the cop. We don't quote. We just say, can you work something out? What are we doing? We're pleading. We're asking for mercy. The request is, don't give me what my speedometer says I deserve. Don't give me what reality is saying that I should deserve. I'm requesting mercy. Here's what Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 says. It's a scripture I've heard before, heard a lot growing up. Never really kind of grabbed a hold of it, but let's read it together, okay? You ready? Go. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. This is a beautiful verse because it all of a sudden, it's like peeling something back. You know, there's layers, and all of a sudden, it's like peeling back a layer where I realize, you know, his mercies, they fail not. We sing that song, great is thy faithfulness, oh God. You know, we grew up with that song, that we sing it and forget the truth at the core of it, the reality. And so for me, when I was studying this, I thought, oh my gosh, you know what this really means? Well, what it means is exactly what it says. But when it becomes real to you, all of a sudden you realize his mercies are fresh and new every morning, every morning. He doesn't miss a day. He doesn't have a sick day. He doesn't take a day off. He doesn't vacay. He doesn't do any of that. His mercies are fresh and new every morning. Every day, you and I get to experience his mercies, whether we deserve it or not. Think about that. We get to experience his mercies every morning. Write this down in your outlines. God's mercies are new every morning, and we get to wake up to them. We get to wake up to them. I don't know about you, but I'm not proud of everything I've done in my past. But I don't have to worry about that. Why? Because of God's mercy. He said, you can wake up to... I woke up today, and when I woke up today, unbeknownst to me, maybe I understood because I'm preaching about this, but whether I was consciously thinking about it or not, his mercies were there, fresh and new, ready to meet me where I was at, to take me where I need to go. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to want to be involved in the process, and he'll perfect you along the way. You see, we are to experience his mercies. Every day, think of this, every day is full of not getting what you and I deserve. That's what mercy is. It's completely jam-packed of you and I not getting what we should, justice might say, that we deserve. There's some of us here today, by the way, that shouldn't even be here. We should be in a grave. Now, that sounds morbid, but here's my point. I don't know anything about you. I don't know a story. I'm just thinking that you guys appear to be human just like me, right? And I don't know about you, but I'm not perfect, so I'm going to make a huge leap and say that you're not perfect. Don't know anything, just saying. But I know this. I've told you a story back in the day when I kind of just got my heart right with the Lord. I got in a semi. I wasn't in the semi. I got in a car accident. I was driving a Ford Festiva, and I got hit by a semi. Bam. I don't know how I walked away from that, but I kind of do now. You know, I don't understand. God didn't lay it out for me in bullet form or outline or sing it to me or email me or anything. He didn't say, you were spared that night because of me. But I know when I go back and I read about how his mercies are fresh and new every morning, and every day I get to wake up to them, justice says that I probably shouldn't be here today, but God's mercy intersected with that, and it changed everything. If you're here today and you're saying, I don't deserve God's love, or I don't deserve a second chance, or I don't do, you know, fill in the blank however you want to say it, that's irrelevant when it intersects with God's mercies, because they're fresh and new every morning. And he wants to rewrite that whole story. I shouldn't be here most likely, not even because of that semi-accident. I can think of all the other boneheaded stuff I've done that you're not even aware of, but I am. When you look in the mirror, you don't even have to do that. When you just think, I don't know all the stories about your past, but you do. And you know all the times where the enemy's tried to use guilt and shame like a heavy, wet blanket. But God says, no, my mercies are fresh and new every morning. Take the blanket off. See, you can walk in that freedom. I shouldn't be here today, maybe if it were just based on justice. But his mercy intersected with that. That's a daily way that God works. That's a daily way. That's his MO. By his mercies, we are not consumed. If he ruled with an iron fist, you and I would all be consumed. You know that? We'd all be consumed. But because of his grace and his mercy, grace is mercy's cousin, okay? Or twin sister. It's by his grace and mercy that he comes. We got up today with new life. Think about that. Whatever was yesterday was yesterday. You don't get that day any longer. Maybe you don't even want it. But today, it's fresh and new. Today, you have new life. That means you have new opportunities. Don't let yesterday's, whether they're successes or failures, determine what your opportunities will do today. Let His Holy Spirit be the thing that determines that. Hey, here's what the Word of God says. Put your hand in front of your face with me, everybody. Put your hand in front of your face. Now blow on your hand. Did you feel the breath that's there? Here's what the Word of God says. Let everything that have what? Breath. Praise the Lord, right? Now, everyone here, if your neighbor's not breathing, please let an usher know, okay? But if you're breathing today, it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Because God's mercies, here's the problem. Here's the problem. Because God's mercies are so regular. Sometimes it just chokes me up because I think about how regular they are. I don't deserve any of them. But because they're so regular and God's so good, I can take them for granted. You can take them for granted. And we start thinking this. They become so automatic. All of this grace and mercy is so automatic that the only time I recognize something's wrong is when God doesn't give me what I think I deserve. And I don't. Some of you woke up today. How many of you woke up today? Trick question, okay? You know, that's God's mercies right there. You don't deserve that. I don't deserve that. But because God's the giver of life and He's merciful, you're awake, or at least you should be. If you're not, elbow your neighbor, okay? How many of you walked into this church? Hey, we take that for granted. Some people don't get the ability to do that. How many of you were able to talk and greet somebody? Praise God. His mercy is fresh and new every morning. Some of us don't get that gift of being able to talk. How many of you heard the worship this morning? Some of us don't get the ability to hear the beautiful worship that takes place and be able to magnify the Lord. It's not until we take it for granted that all of a sudden we say, hey, what's going on around here? What did I do wrong? Why did God take this away from me? You see, it's a misunderstanding. You don't deserve any of that. I don't deserve any of that. But because His mercies are fresh and new every morning, we get to wake up to them. I got to move on. Okay. Page 3, where'd you go? Sorry. Don't take His mercy for granted. We all deserve justice, but He extends His mercy. Here's the two reasons we need mercy. Okay, I'm going to give you the two reasons. We're just going to talk real quick about them. And I want you to take this home with you and think about it. Two reasons. I'll give them to you, then we'll talk. Number one reason we need mercy is because of the sin in our lives. That's one reason. Reason number two is because of the painful weight of circumstances that weigh us down. The one reason we need it is because sin in our lives. If you're here and you're saying, I'm a Christian and I don't have sin in my life anymore, you misunderstand. You're here today and you're a Christian, but you're still living in a sinful world. You'll still have temptations that will try to bring you down, or you're deceiving yourself, thinking you're not sinful in an area you just haven't seen yet, and the Lord will reveal that to you later. That's okay. God will do that by His grace because He knows that He wants to bring you into a new level. So, sin in our lives is one reason. The other reason is because of the painful weight of circumstances. When you and I, if I choose to steal a candy bar and I get caught, there's consequences because I chose to steal the candy bar, right? Those are consequences. But then there's circumstances that come into your life that you kind of have no control over. But let's talk about first the sin in our lives. Many of us are in misery, not because of the circumstances that are out of my control, but because of bad choices I've made, sinful choices. And you've got to start there. We always have to start there no matter who you are, because here's a reality, a little bullet in your outline. You can choose the sin, but you have no control over the consequences. You can choose the sin. You can choose to do whatever you want, whenever you want, with whoever you want, but you don't get to choose how what comes around goes around. You don't get to choose that. You don't get to choose the consequences. You don't get to choose the depth or severity. You don't get to choose the length, the depth, or the number of days. You don't get to choose that. Consequences. When we're dealing with misery and life because of choices we've made, you knew you shouldn't have spent your money on this or invested it, but you did, and now you're in debt. That's a consequence because you knew not to do it, but yet you did. Or you got in a relationship, an unhealthy one, and you got involved because you just, for whatever reason, that's a whole other message, but you made those choices, and now you're in this place. There's these consequences that are there because of that. Maybe it's a career. You knew the Lord said, don't go that way. And you said, but I want what I want. And you went there. Now there's consequences. See, that's sin when we don't listen to the Lord. We don't obey. But yet He's still merciful in the midst of that, if we will just come to Him. One of the reasons that there's such a great need for mercy is because of the wrong choices that we've made in our life. And if you make wrong choices, by the way, I'm preaching to the choir to some degree. We all know that you shouldn't choose sin, but why do we do that? Why do we choose sin? Usually, because it's way fun. Let's just be real. Sin always seems more fun. The world's way always seems more immediate than God's way, doesn't it? I mean, that's the way the devil works. He says, God's got a way, but I can give it to you now. And we always want to fall for that. The enemy will try to tempt and lure us away, but anytime we say yes and choose anything other than God, what we're ultimately doing is giving the enemy permission to make it worse than it needs to be and to take it further than we ever want it to go. We don't mind when we're choosing the sin. Yeah, I get there might be a price to pay. We don't mind that too much because we're looking at what we're going to get out of it until that day comes, the consequences. See, one of the reasons we need mercy is because of sin that's in our lives. We need to be able to understand that God loves us so much. And the Bible says that in God's mercies, he doesn't reward us according to our iniquities. Isn't that good news? Yeah, I don't want to be rewarded according to my iniquities. But here's what you can't do. You can thank God for the mercies that are fresh and new, but you cannot expect mercy if there's an unwillingness to deal with the sin that causes the consequences. That make sense? You cannot expect mercy when you're already in the back of your head thinking about how you got this all figured out. You know what? I shouldn't steal the candy bar, but I know this. God forgives. God's faithful. You know, so if I steal the candy bar, I'll just ask him for forgiveness later. No, if you've already determined and figured out that you're going to steal the candy bar, God's got your number. You can cry for mercy all you want. You're probably going to get justice. Why? You said God's a merciful God. Yes, for those who are willing to look at the sin in their life and be able to lay that out before the Lord, seek repentance, and say, God, what's your way? What's your will? I'm sorry. You know when mercy came into my life? I'm sure it's been there a number of millions of times. But I really experienced it when I was willing to address the sin in my life. I hate that. Why couldn't it come in sooner, quicker, easier? Less embarrassing, less humiliating. But you know, humiliation is just, it's a form of humbling. You can choose to humble yourself or you can let the world do it for you. And it's not until I came eyeball to eyeball with my sin and said, Lord, forgive me. Now I've opened up the door for the right to ask for mercy. Because my heart is in the right place. Lord, forgive me for my sin and all the mistakes I made. I didn't mean to break your heart. My heart is broken over the sin that's in my life. Please forgive me. Show me mercy. And God goes, bam, you got it. Because your heart's in the right place. But if you walk in thinking, I got this figured out, you don't. And neither do I. People say all the time, Lord, have mercy. You know, you hear somebody say that? We can make a flippant statement, but that doesn't mean that you gained his mercy just because you've made some kind of a declaration. Luke chapter 18. Let me show you. Luke chapter 18. Two men walked into a church. It sounds like the beginning of a bad Christian joke, doesn't it? Luke chapter 18. Two men did. Jesus is telling the story. Walk into a church, a Pharisee and a publican. The Pharisee went to the altar. He justified himself for how good and all that stuff he was. But the publican stood afar off and hid in the background and said, I'm not worthy. And Jesus said, the Pharisee, when he left with all his sins still clinging to him. But the publican, when he left, he found mercy and he took it with him. You see, if you're not willing to face the sin that's causing you to need God's mercy, then you're not ready for his mercy. And that's what makes us eligible. Jesus is rich, loaded in mercy because he loves you, because he loves me. And he decides, by the way, who gets what. You know, the wind that sometimes when it's real windy out, 50, 60 degrees, I love walking against the wind because you can kind of lean into it, right? But you don't want to live life like that. That's miserable. It takes more work. That same wind that's against you, if you were to turn and allowed the same wind that was blowing against you to now be the thing that propels you forward. You see, you don't get that until you change your direction. Some of us have been working against God, and he's saying, you want my mercy? He says, line up with my word. And when you turn, then you got the wind behind you. You got the wind propelling you forward into whatever God has for you. Now, I said the one reason was because that we needed mercy was because of sin in our lives. Let me say something about the second reason. And that was about having mercy because of circumstances. What I mean by that is things that are out of your control. They're out of my control. Some people, they've experienced blindness, let's say. I don't know why. It just happened. It's out of their control. Deafness, natural disaster maybe occurred, and it's producing misery in your life. But you see, maybe you experienced a cutback on the job, a layoff, a setback, whatever it is. It's out of your control. To the best of your knowledge, you did nothing to bring this on you, and you're in misery. You're miserable because of the circumstances that are out of your control, and you need something to intervene. You need mercy. You need mercy. Blessed are the merciful, the Bible says, for they will receive mercy. It means that you and I are to be people that help to remove the burden in the lives of others when we can do so. Here's the reality. Write this down in your outline. You can't be merciful to everybody, but you can be merciful to somebody. You can't be merciful to everybody in your life, but you can find one person that you can show mercy to. Well, how do I show them mercy? Remember the definition: to help to remove, to help to relieve something that's weighing heavy on them. Maybe it's going to be praying for them. Maybe it's going to be showing God's love in a practical way. Maybe it's going to be simply by waving or greeting them, giving them a smile, giving them a hug, whatever that means. But we use the excuse, I can't help everybody, so I'm going to help no one. Remember the Good Samaritan in the Bible? Do you remember him? Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan. If you remember the story, it says that man was beaten and lying on the road. A priest, what did he do? He passed by. Levite, what did he do? He passed by. But it says then a Good Samaritan came by, and their cultural race, they didn't get along. The guy, the Good Samaritan, and Jew, and it says the Good Samaritan stopped, got down, got dirty, got down on his hands and knees, helped the man up, cleaned him up. It says that the Good Samaritan inconvenienced himself, put the man on his donkey, paid for room and board for this guy. See, let me ask you the question, who was the real neighbor in that story? The priest, the Levite, or the Good Samaritan? Well, I think we'd all agree it's the Good Samaritan, right? What's my point? Mercy is compassion that's in action. That's what it is. Mercy is not just something that you sit back and receive and store up, never to share with anybody else. If you want more mercy from God, start giving the mercy that you have. And as you give, it will come back to you. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. In other words, what comes around goes around. What you give is what you get. And a lot of us, sometimes we can struggle with that and say, I don't want to give too much, but I would encourage you the opposite. If you want to get more, you need to learn to give more. Because God says, I like to hit a moving target. That's not in the Bible. That's my words. He says, I like to hit a moving target. I like to see somebody that's moving and they're in action. Here's something you can write down in your outline. When you are able to give mercy when you don't need to, God will give it to you when you need it the most. If you can learn to give mercy when it's inconvenient for you, when you don't really need to give it to anybody because you're doing all right, but you're willing to go out of your way, like the Good Samaritan, it says that when you do need it and your time comes, because how many of you know your day is coming? Do you know that? That's not very encouraging. That's not very uplifting. Pastor, that's not very positive, but it's true. There's a day that's coming that we're going to need the mercies of the Lord more than maybe we do today. Can we agree on that? And when you cry out for mercy, here's what's going to happen. God is going to look back. How many of you have ever made a phone call and got customer service recording that says, please remain on hold. The first available operator will be with you. Be aware that this call is being monitored to improve the quality of our customer service. What are they saying to you? What they're saying is this. Hey, when we talk, it's not just us that's listening. There's somebody else listening. And they're doing it so that the service can become better. Let me put it this way. What's my point with all of that? When you need mercy, know this. Your mercy is being monitored. God is listening and he's watching. So when you need service, he's going to check back and say, okay, Jim, he's requesting mercy. He's in need. So I'm going to look back and I'm going to see how often he was willing to give it. Because what you give is what you get. You want the mercies of God the way the Bible's talking about them? Was Jim a merciful person? I sure hope he finds a yes and amen in that file. I hope he finds a record that I've been merciful to others. Nehemiah is a book that was written about the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. Nehemiah went through, and there's one phrase that he said in there that caught my attention that I liked. It says that he went about helping people, doing good along the way, and when he did something good for somebody, he would say, and he was talking to the Lord, he'd say, Lord, remember me for good. Remember me. He'd help somebody. Lord, remember me for good. Along the way, Lord, remember me for good. What was he saying? He was saying this: I'm willing to help people out that need help, even though I'm doing fine, because I know something. I know that my day's coming, and I want to know that when my day does come, that I can experience your mercy, because you say that those that are blessed are those that are merciful. So Lord, remember me for good. Remember what I've done here and how I've extended mercy. And God, he's saying, God, write this down, because my day is coming and I want you to remember me. James chapter 2, verse 13. It says, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown mercy. And it says, mercy triumphs over judgment. Say that with me. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Matthew 18, you remember the story about the king? Somebody owed him over $100,000 plus. And the man said to the king, have mercy on me. And the king had mercy on him and forgave him the debt and wiped it out and told him to go. And the man went out and found somebody that owed him 200 bucks and grabbed him by the shirt and said, give me my money. He says, I can't give you the money. And he said, then go, he threw him into jail. When the king heard that the man who he extended mercy to did not extend mercy to somebody else, you know what the king did? He reinstated the debt. He says, you, come here. He said, that debt, it's back. You're going to jail until you can pay it back. I can't pay it back. I don't know how I'm going to do it. Not my problem now. Why did that happen? Because judgment will be merciless to the one who shows no mercy. If your life is so full of you that you're unable to show mercy to others, then when your day comes and you cry out, there'll be none of you to give. God doesn't give me what I deserve. That's mercy. God doesn't give you what you deserve. That's mercy. He says, mercy overcomes judgment. So it doesn't matter if we're not perfect, but in our best state, in our best day, we still need the mercies of God. And if you and I learn to position ourselves for the mercies of God, then when he gets the opportunity, he will do so. You know why? Because God loves to pour his mercies into our life. And he can afford it. He's loaded. He's got all the mercy that you'll ever need. But we must understand grace, justice, and mercy, and do our part to reduce, to remove, and to relieve when possible in others' lives, because we're going to need it someday as well. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for your mercy that you have for me. Lord, I thank you for your mercy for each and every person that's here today, because we really forget how big mercy is in our lives and how much you've extended it to us. Jesus, I ask today that you will open up our eyes to see what you see. Lord, when we leave this place today, may we not leave with a mindset that says, God bless me, my four, no more. Lord, what can I get? Lord, give us a mindset that says, what can I give? What can I do? How can I serve? How can I be that son and that daughter that can extend mercy to others so I can be blessed by you and receive your mercy? Lord, give me that today. Lord, I pray for each and every person that's here today as they leave this place, that they not leave the same way that they came, that there would be a fring in their spirit, that, Lord God, you will meet, you have met them and planted that seed of mercy in their lives so we can become more like you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen, church.